Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, good Sunday morning. First Sunday in June. It's supposed to be a beautiful day, maybe not as warm as we would like, but should be fine indeed later on this afternoon. Well, thank you for tuning in and catching my drift this Sunday. Let me take care of a little business before we get into things here. Max Marina is our sponsor this half hour. Located in Whitmore Lake on Main Street, Max is the only full-service marina in Whitmore Lake. They have slips. I think they're full for this season, but they do repairs. They have marine supplies and rentals. So you can actually get out and rent a boat or jet ski and check them out and see what's going on in, at Max Marina. 734-449-4706. Great place to get your boat serviced. I get my boat serviced there, so I can personally tell you they do a fine job, and they really do help you out. So good people at Max Marina, 734-449-4706, and you can check them out at www.maxmacsmarina.com. Give them a call and see what it's like up there. Tell them you heard it on The Drift. Okay, so we got a lot to cover today, and we have a guest from Retake Our Gov, which is a Tea Party affiliated group out of Livingston County. All right, so we've got Wes Nakagiri, who is the founder of Retake Our Gov, and you can go to retakeourgov.com to check these guys out. They do a lot of good things, alerting people to what is going on in state and federal government, and this is something you need to be involved in. Check them out online and get in contact with Wes. But what happened basically was, these guys were elected as delegates, and then the Michigan GOP has decided to take away their voting rights at the national convention, which is as hypocritical and distasteful a thing as can be done. I think we have Wes back on the line now. Are you welcome back, Wes? Are you there?
Yeah. Is this better line?
Yeah, sounds much better.
Okay. All right. I guess cell phones aren't all they're packed up to be there.
Not sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But go ahead and pick up what the GOP did to you at the convention.
Yeah, during the convention, I was voted in by my peers as to, you know, to be a delegate to the national convention. Ron came in second, and he was made the alternate. And after the meeting concluded, there was a gentleman came up to me and asked me, you know, hey, we forgot to decide who would be voting and non-voting delegate. And that goes to the issue of, you know, Michigan went early on their primary, and one of the penalties for going early on our primary was that the Republican National Committee, RNC, would, you know, strip us of some of our delegates. And so, you know, even though Ron and I were elected, you know, they had to make a decision on who would be a penalized and non-voting delegate and who wouldn't. So I was asked if I would, you know, mind being a non-voting delegate, and I said, no, I'd prefer to be a voting delegate. I'm pretty sure they were hoping I'd just say, yeah, I'd be a penalized delegate, but... No, I was voted in, and I'm representing other people, and I'm, you know, I didn't feel it was right to say, well, I'm going to strip them of their voice. So, you know, I said no, and then after that, a impromptu, I'll call it an ad hoc meeting, was set up, and in that meeting, you know, Ron and I were voted to be non-voting. We're selected to be non-voting by a 4-2 vote. It was basically the Ron and I, there was a delegate from an alternate from Ingham, a delegate and alternate from Oakland County. So there were six people there, and Ron and I were lost out on, got the short end of the stick 4-2. after this meeting occurred and or was finished, you know, people came up to me afterwards and said, "Hey, you know, what were you doing up there in the front of the room? The caucus was already over, and once the caucus is adjourned, you can't be conducting any more business." So you know, it was that time I realized that I think I got snookered here.
Right. And how many delegates total do we have from the state of Michigan?
There would be three delegates from each congressional district, and then three alternates. So there's 14. So the math would be 42 delegates and 42 alternates.
Okay. So out of 42, the Michigan Republican Party decided that our delegate from Livingston County, probably the most conservative county, the probably biggest Republican county in the state, gets the short end of the stick?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't just Livingston. Every congressional district, each of the 14, had to make a decision on who was voting and who was non-voting. So I would say it wouldn't be right to characterize that it just happened to Livingston. Every congressional district had the same issue of deciding who is voting and who is non-voting. My challenge to the Republican Party is based on procedural rules, which really some people say, "Well, it's just a rule, it's just a procedure." But the rules are in place to protect the rights of the minority, and rules are in place to make sure we have a consistent process and procedures that were more or less a rule of law as opposed to a rule of fiat. So,
do you feel because you guys are Tea Party affiliated, maybe that drove part of that decision?
Yes. The short answer is yes. I think that could have entered into it. The other four people were, I would characterize them as longtime party people, and what's surprising to me is that I've always thought that our Tea Party group in Livingston County had a great relationship, worked well with the Republican Party, and actually I still do, from a local level. I have no qualms with the Livingston County Party. But I think at a state level, there's people there that want to retain their positions of authority and view that more important than, say, focusing on the mission of getting rid of Barack Obama.
Right. And I guess for me, the key word would probably be bureaucrats. You know, the Republicans doing as well as they are in Michigan in the last election is owed, I would say, mostly to the fact that the Tea Parties got involved. And the Tea Parties, could have gone third party, could have gone independent, but, instead they worked with the Republicans. So it makes me angry that they would do this. I mean, you represent a group that has been very active, that is instrumental in helping Republicans take back the state legislature and retain the Senate and get Governor Snyder elected. If it weren't for the Tea Parties, we'd probably still have a Democratic-controlled House, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I guess I'm somewhat reluctant to, toot our horn too loudly, but for sure what you say is right. I mean, we decided, and I think it was certainly the right decision then, and it's the right decision now, to work within the Republican Party to make it, more representative of the people, more of a limited party government, I think that our involvement was certainly a plus. We brought in lots of new people, lots of people who were outside of the political process that found the political process distasteful with respect to the major parties. We were able to reach out to them, bring them in, get them energized, and turn them into more of an activist and get the message out.
Absolutely. I feel that for just about all the Tea Parties really have set up the bigger tent for the Republican Party, because you brought in independents who were mad and angry and probably voted for Obama last time around, and now brought them into the Republican Party, or at least getting them to vote on the Republican ticket, which is a major, major thing that needed to happen. So, I'm frankly, I'm a little irritated by the whole thing. And I would like people, if you go to the MichiganGOP.com website for the Republican Party, one of their principles there is talking about equality. And it seems like they're not giving a whole lot of equality to the Tea Party in this, especially when they owe the Tea Party and people who are conservative that they're due. So, I'd like people to give a call to the Michigan GOP, 517-487-5413, and let them know that you don't think it's right and that Tea Party people should have as much voting rights as anyone else in the Republican Party, because I think you guys have earned it, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, I certainly appreciate the vote of confidence. I think that I don't know if I should say it's the whole Republican Party or just, you know, which I don't, I'll say it is not, I don't believe it's the whole Republican Party. I think there's certain people in there that that need to understand that, hey, you know, change is going forward. We're trying to pull the Republican Party in a favorable direction, one that would be more representative of people, one that's more inclusive, and that maybe how business was done in the past, the good old boy network, might not be appropriate, you know, moving forward.
Right, because you guys are the grassroots of the party at this point. You know, the Country Club Republicans weren't banging on doors, having these meetings where thousands of people would show up and greet the Tea Party Express as it would come into town. And it's just irritating that we're being kind of pushed to the side on that kind of. I'm a member of a Tea Party, will run Tea Party caucus, and not particularly active down there because I can't get there. But I believe in the Tea Party. I believe in smaller government. And I think that's what you guys push so much for. I mean, it takes us back to the roots of the Republican Party. So, well, anyways, tell us a little bit about RetakeOurGov and how people can get hold of you, Wes.
RetakeOurGov is a Tea Party. We've been around, you know, since late 2009. We're, you know, people can contact us through our website, www.retakeourgov.com, or, you know, they could call us. We have a phone line set up at 810-207-1867. And we're a little bit unique, maybe not totally unique, but there's not, I would say this, we were the first Tea Party in Michigan to form a PAC. So we formed a federal PAC in 2010. We formed another PAC, a state PAC, in 2011. And the reason we did that is it became clear to me that, you know, you do need money to be able to influence the electoral process, and we didn't want to just focus on educating the electorate. We wanted to, you know, be able to influence things. And so from that standpoint, we were, like I said, we're a little bit unique in that we operate two political action committees.
Right. Well, that's a step. That's where everyone's going. That's the one Obama said he would never do, and yet he jumped into the fray as well with his PAC. So it is the way the government and the electoral process seems to be working at this point. So let me thank you again, Wes, for coming on. And I do know that in Howell, is it this Wednesday we have the Tea Party Express coming? Are you involved in that in any way?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I know of it. It's Wednesday at 6 from 6 to 8 p.m. at the old historic courthouse. Although I have to admit, I know of it. I wasn't directly involved in organizing it. There was a great Tea Party patriot, Jennifer Hensley, has done yeoman's work at coordinating this whole thing, making the calls to the candidates, getting the speakers lined up. I really tip my hat to Jennifer. She's done a marvelous job.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get out there and let people know Wednesday, 6 o'clock, out in Howell at the courthouse. The Tea Party Express bus is coming through town. They always have great speakers, so it should be a good time. Wes, thank you again. Call in anytime. Let us know what's going on with RetakeOurGov and keep us apprised of the information that you got going on, okay?
All righty. Sounds great.
Thanks, Wes. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye now.
Okay. Wes Nakagiri from RetakeOurGov.com. A great great group. Go to their website, check them out, and see what's going on now. they keep you appraised of information going on in the political arena, as do we at the Daily Drift. You can go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com, click on the Daily Drift, and I do. I go through the internet bringing you the stories that you're not seeing on the liberal media. And what you need to do is just go there. Instead of going to all the different websites, I kind of condense what is really important and bring it to you, local, state, and at the national level. So the Daily Drift is a good blog for you to stay up really quickly on what's going on every day. And we kind of recap that in this show every Sunday, so the most important stuff gets through to you. So we've got a call on line two. We've got Ken from Livonia. Haven't heard from you in a while, Ken. Welcome back.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a suggestion that could help increase the involvement with the different Tea Party groups, and that is to get all religious aspects out of it. I've gone to, in the past, I had gone to many Tea Party rallies. Friends of mine had gone to rallies, different rallies, and even some went to meetings. And one thing we had noticed was that either pastors, especially the ones I went to, pastors speaking, reading from the Bible, offering prayer, and for a lot of us, I'm very religious, but I practice, in my case, a religious fellowship, which means I don't pray or worship with people that don't share my faith. And I've talked to other people who are also churchgoers, or Catholics and others, and it's the same feeling. And so I think what the Tea Party needs to do is concentrate on politics and keep religion out of it.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that, Ken, just because, you know what, there should be one and only one argument this election season, and that is balancing the budget. All social issues should be, frankly, off the table until after this election, because you know what, without money, we can't take care of people, we can't have the arguments and the discourse and the debate on social issues until we get our budget straight. So I'll agree with you there, Ken. As always, thank you so much for your phone call, because you always bring up good, valid points,
I
appreciate
just for the record,
calls.
I don't think social issues as far as the politicians should be off the table, because I know when I walk into a voting booth, I bring the social issues with me. But I don't think the Tea Party should be involved with social issues.
Yeah, well, again, a valid point, but you know what? This election season, I'm driven by one thing and one thing only. Balance the budget. Stop spending more than we don't have. Ken, thanks so much for your phone call. We'll hear from you again, hopefully.
Take care.
Take care. All right, we've got Jenny, line one. Jenny, are you there?
I sure am. How are you?
Good, Jenny. How are you?
I can't complain.
Awesome.
I would like to ask you if eventually you could get a media for your paper so that blind people like me who don't have a computer, who can't afford a computer, and obviously can't read print, could get it audibly.
That's a good question, Jenny. I had not thought of that. You know, I will try and do some homework on that and get that available. I'm sure there's an app out there for that. I'm not sure, but I will do some homework for you and try to get that available. I think it's a good point.
I don't even have internet on the cell phone because it's not accessible to blind, not the ones that I can afford.
Right.
So I'd even be willing to pay for it on CD or something.
Okay. Well, let me figure out a way that we can do that. I'll look into that. It hadn't really occurred to me, and my apologies for not thinking about it. I guess I should have.
Well, that's all right. Nobody does.
Yeah. Well, let me, and if you find out anything, could you call us or email us or let us know in some fashion or another if there's something that would point me in the right direction for that?
The only thing I can really think of off the top of my head is if you could get it recorded on a CD.
Okay. Well, let me see what I can do. We put a man on the moon 50 years ago. There should be some way to get a newspaper put together for the sight impaired, I guess, and figure it out. Let me do some homework on that, Jenny. I'll look into that for you.
Okay, if you want, I can leave you my number off air.
That's fine. Give it to Derek, and we'll figure out a way, and I'll try and find a way to look up. Somebody must make an app for that. I'm sure there is. So thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Okay. So that's quite a concept. I hadn't thought of it, and I guess I should have been. So, but let's get into our next subject here. I was a painter in college. I painted my way through college. And I remember growing my little painting company to 14 strong and got hammered by the IRS for paying people as independent contractors instead of as employees. Even though they didn't all work for me full time, they worked for themselves sometimes. And other times it worked for me. I ended up taking my business down to really just me after that. And it's the regulation that kills a lot of small business people. And Dick Carpenter is a PhD who works for the Institute for Justice, a libertarian study group. And he had a commentary that's available at Michigan Capcon, that's MichiganCapitalConfidential.com. And he was talking about how regulation and licensing of small businesses is really just killing us. We're going to have to take a break when this comes up, but we're going to try and get into this. I've got a few tracks from a video that's available at The Daily Drift. Go to currentonline.com and click on the Daily Drift tab, and you'll see this video, which is very interesting. But I'm going to play a few tracks from it. The first track would be talking about why you need permission from the government to do work. Can we get track one, Derek?
Should you need a government permission slip before you can earn an honest living? It's called occupational licensing, and a new national report released by the Institute for Justice shows just how widespread and costly it has become. In the 1950s, only 1 in 20 workers needed a government license to work. Today, it's 1 in 3. To get a license to work, the government forces you to clear one hurdle after another: education or training, passing tests, paying fees, and more.
Did you hear the growth? 1 in 20, and now what was that, Derek? 7 out of 10? For crying out loud, for painting? You're requiring painters to get a license? Now, Jared Skorup from Michigan Capcon wrote a wonderful article earlier in the week at Michigan Capcon. Again, you can go to the Daily Drift and scroll down and you'll catch these. Michigan law requires painting contractors to pay $235, take 60 hours of state-approved pre-licensure education, pass 2 exams, and be over 18 years of age. Are you kidding me? When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this. But this is the kind of nonsense you're getting in the state of Michigan. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. A shooting at a food court in one of Canada's busiest malls in Toronto on Saturday leaves one man dead and 8 others injured.
We were working and then we saw people running. We had to lock the door. Security came. They told us we had to lock the doors, go to the back. We went to lockdown and then they told us to evacuate the building.
The gunman still on the loose. No motive yet from police. Celebrating in London, day 2 of the 4-day Diamond Jubilee, honoring 60 years on the throne for Queen Elizabeth.
There are traditional stalls serving traditional British food, people in vintage costume from the era of her coronation, the late 40s and the 50s.
Fox Radio's Phil Itner in London. NHL Stanley Cup Finals last night. Kings beat New Jersey again for the second straight game, 2-1 in overtime. They lead the best of 7, 2 games to none. Game 3 coming up Monday night in Los Angeles. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Bridget Gabriel, a leading expert on global Islamic terrorism, will speak in West Bloomfield Monday, June 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. at B'nai Moshe Synagogue, 6800 Drake Road in West Bloomfield. Bridget will discuss threats to our security and freedom, such as the growing threat of homegrown jihad, how terrorists are exploiting our porous southern border, often working with drug cartels, the growing Muslim Brotherhood threat, and how Islamic Sharia law is creeping into America, and much more. Again, that's Bridget Gabriel speaking in West Bloomfield Monday, June 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. at B'nai Moshe Synagogue, 6800 Drake Road in West Bloomfield. The Children's Theater Network announces youth acting class, The Play's the Thing. Classes will be held at Performance Network Theater June 18th through the 29th, Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Both new and returned students are welcome, as this summer session will feature new games and exercises that stress innovation, creative thinking, self-esteem building, and teamwork. The two-week experience will culminate in a presentation for friends and family. The cost is $100 per student. Reservations can be made through the Performance Network box office at 734-663-0681 or visit performancenetwork.org. The Hope Clinic Hoopla will take place Saturday, June 16th, beginning at 5 p.m. The event will be held at Dawn Farm, 6633 Stony Creek Road in Ypsilanti. All are invited for a delicious barbecue and music by local bluegrass favorites, the RFD Boys. For more information or to purchase a ticket, which is $50 per guest, call 734-484-2989. All proceeds benefit Hope Clinic.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
With columns by Wham! Radio hosts like Theron X, Dave Janda, and Matt Clark, as well as the Capital Confidential and Herman Cain, you know that the current newspaper understands what's right. This free newspaper has been serving Livingston and Washtenaw counties since 2003 with area news, editorials, an event calendar, and more. Published monthly by Whitmore Lake Media, LLC, the current newspaper includes a variety of interesting articles from Deb's Movie Corner and Ask the Contractor to the Legal Spot, Garden Spot, and a fishing column. Whitmore Lake has some great fishing. You might even see a picture of your neighbor reading The Current in an exotic faraway land. Visit www.currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. Subscribe for home delivery, details on the website, or pick one up free today. The Current Newspaper, a community newspaper for those with common sense.
Whether you're planning to build your dream house or looking for the perfect investment in your future, land prices are at their lowest and the time to invest is now. Come and see this unique 22-acre lot with a gorgeous private lake conveniently located 15 minutes from downtown Ann Arbor and Brighton with easy access to US 23. Beautiful wooded walkout building sites are perfect for the most private and luxurious of homes and can be split in any number of ways. This property is zoned for quarter-acre lots or larger, and sewers and electricity are available at the paved road frontage. This is an excellent investment with a low asking price of under $200,000. To own this unique investment property, call 734-679-1512 for an appointment to view. That's 734-679-1512.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
Almost half receives some sort of benefit. Well, Matt, what's wrong with that? What's the problem with somebody getting government assistance? There's no problem with that, right? At a certain point, if you have so many people getting government assistance, where does the money come from? If you have more takers than givers, how is that sustainable? How can that last?
Don't miss the Clark Cast live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. Our sponsor this half hour, The Current Newspaper, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, The Current. CurrentOnline.com. You can catch all the latest information at the Current and the Daily Drift. And the June issue is out and available online if you're not lucky enough to get it in the mail. We now deliver to 30,000 homes and drop off another 5,000. So growing every month and getting much bigger. We started at 5,000 5 years ago, and we're now at 35,000. So doing very well. You can call Sam Iaquinto for your advertising in the Current, 734-323-0777, or go to currentonline.com, and you can get contact information there. But we also put it up online every month, and we get tons of server requests for the paper. So it's an awesome way to advertise your business. You can grow your business along with us. I did want to make mention, too, that if you have a child or grandchild who is in their junior or senior year in high school, and if they are doing very well and with their grades and whatnot, Congressman Tim Walberg is holding an open house for students interested in attending a U.S. military service academy for college. That means West Point, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy. I forgot the name of the Marines, but they have a branch as well as the Coast Guard and the Merchant Marine. Now, this is a great way for you to get a college education, and you can call 517-780-9075. So you can really get a prestigious education and get some leadership skills in the process. So they have this open house Wednesday, June 30th. From 5 to 7 at Baker College in on Springport Road out in Jackson. So 517-780-9075 if you're interested in attending a military U.S. Military Service Academy. It's a great way to get a college education. So we were talking about overregulation last half hour and talking about Dr. Dick Carpenter, who was has a wonderful video available at currentonline.com. Click on the Daily Drift. And we're talking about how the state of Michigan in particular wants to license all kinds of occupations in order really just to get money for the state, including items like painting. Now, normally you would license a business if it's health-related, if there's a danger, if there's something special. But we actually license painting. I don't know how many people have died from a bad paint job. Do you, Derek? Yeah, seriously. The regulations are just incredible. And this last year, if you're a painter, feel free to call in and verify this for me. We started with lead abatement. Now they're worried about lead like they were worried about asbestos years ago. Oh, now you got to encapsulate. You've got to put up plastic. You got to test for lead-based paint. You can't remove anything if it's been painted with lead. It's an absolute disgrace what the federal government, this is the EPA, mind you, has done. And Michigan just makes it worse by putting these crazy regulations on us, the people. You can't start a small painting company anymore. You can't just go out and hire some high school kids or college kids for the summer and be a painter. You have to be licensed and certified and pass tests and take trainings to paint a house. What the heck has happened to our country when we allow this kind of nonsense to go on? You need to contact your legislatures and tell them, stop with the nonsense. We want to be able to paint our homes without spending the kind of money we have to process lead abatement during the project. It's insane. So we have some other tracks here, but we do have a phone call coming in. Oh, no, the call didn't come in. We're going to move on then to track two from Dr. Carpenter's video. Let's go with track two, Derek.
To find out, we examined licensing laws for 102 occupations in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. We looked only at low and moderate income jobs like interior designers, massage therapists, and shampooers, not doctors or lawyers. On average, these licenses require you to pay $209, pass an exam, and complete more than 275 days, or about 9 months, of training and experience. One-third of these licenses take one, two, or even as many as 6 full years to earn. That's a lot of time and effort spent getting permission to work instead of working.
All right. Can you imagine spending that kind of time? 60 hours of training. That's sitting in a class for a week and a half. to learn how to paint. Excuse me, when I learned to paint, I was given a paintbrush and told to paint. Yes, my boss came up behind me and showed me. I'm discounting the time I painted for my father the shutters on our porch and spilled a quart of black paint all over me. So I guess maybe there is a little training, but it's certainly not 60 hours worth of training that needs to happen from some bureaucrat in a classroom to paint a house. It's outrageous. And if you're not mad about it, you should be, because this is the kind of nonsense that's costing our country billions and billions of dollars. This is a parasitical process that's just sucking money. It returns nothing to the economy, absolutely nothing. And this activity of parasites must stop, because it's draining the economy. It's not adding to the economy, and it's not creating jobs. It's preventing jobs from happening. Let's go to track three, Derek. This is some reasons not to be licensed.
Unfortunately, research provides little evidence that government licensing like this makes the goods and services you buy any safer or better. Instead, it raises costs for consumers and reduces opportunities for workers. We found at least four other reasons to doubt that many of these hurdles are necessary. First, some licenses simply don't make sense. Should you really need a license to shampoo hair, be an interior designer, or work as a funeral attendant? Second, the vast majority of jobs we studied are done in one state or another without licensing. Shampooers are licensed in only 5 states, interior designers in only 3 states in D.C., and funeral attendants in a mere 9 states. The question is, what's happening in states not licensing these jobs? It's hard to believe there is a dangerous epidemic of shampooing in 46 states. Licenses like these should probably be scrapped. Third, licensing requirements are often wildly inconsistent from one state to another. Take manicurists. 10 states require at least 4 months of training, but Iowa requires only 9 days. Alaska, just 3. Do manicurists in, say, Alabama and Oregon really need so much more training? Lowering hurdles like these would be jobs for others. Fourth, the difficulty of jumping licensing hurdles often has little to do with the safety risk of the job. The hardest occupation to enter in our study is interior designer. It takes 6 years of education and training, plus an exam and fees, all for a harmless occupation that is practiced safely in 47 states without licensing. Compare that to emergency medical technicians, who quite literally hold lives in their hands. Yet, 66 other occupations have heavier licensure burdens than EMTs, including landscape workers, manicurists, and a host of contractor designations. The average EMT spends about a month in training and takes 2 exams. The average cosmetologist spends about a year, more than 10 times the training of an EMT. This doesn't mean that EMTs should face higher hurdles. Other occupations should face lower hurdles, or none at all. Licensing may have little to do with protecting public health and safety, but it does protect those who already have licenses from competition. Raising barriers keeps new competitors out and prices high. If state lawmakers want to help more people find jobs, they should start by clearing away licensing barriers that do little more than protect some people from competition.
Okay, that's exactly right. All this excessive licensing only reduces competition and keeps your costs higher. So government needs to get out of the way and reduce or eliminate these licensing requirements for these minor occupations. Come on, landscaping? You got to take more landscaping classes than an EMT would have to take for his job? Crazy. That's nonsense. All right, so anyways, you can thank Jarrett Skorp for bringing that to us and Dr. Carpenter for the Center of Institute for Justice. And you can see all the Michigan CapCon stuff at the Daily Drift. Just click on that tab and it'll link you right up to Michigan CapCon. So we're going to move on now to an article a little more local. Senator Debbie Stabenow, says Ann Arbor to Detroit rail effort is moving slower than she'd like. Well, no kidding. It's a crappy, subsidized program that they're trying to jam down our throats again. Now, you haven't heard really much from Debbie. You never hear much from Debbie and Carl Levin until it's election year. Then they start tooting their horns about what's going on. Three candidates were looking to represent Michigan in the U.S. Senate offered different opinions on the regional rail and mass transit on Wednesday. The only Democrat, Debbie Sabinow, said she'd be bullish on the prospect of increased public transit services in Southeast Michigan. Well, of course you would. You want to spend some more money, Debbie. I think, Derek, we might have to get you to pull up that spend it now thing. I think I haven't heard that in a while. We're going to have to play that before the end of the show. When I was in the House, I started a process they're working on right now to improve rail services from Ann Arbor down past the airport into Detroit. And that's moving slower than I'd like it to be. That system is just not going to work. Now, Pete Hoekstra and Clark Durant, the Republican contenders, are both against it. It's spending money on something that people aren't going to use, and we're going to have to subsidize that. It means you and I, who drive our cars because we either can't or don't want to take the train, will have to pay for that individual who wants to take the train. And again, that's inefficient and it's unfair. That's not the kind of stuff we need to be doing. So it's aggravating to listen to this woman continue the nonsense of spend, spend, spend. Did you find that, Derek, by chance? Oh, let's hear it. I need a laugh this morning. Let's hear that track.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spendetnow. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy get very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spendetnow.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spendetnow and Pete Spendetnot. I'm Pete Spendetnot Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
It gets funnier every time, doesn't it? I just can't help it. It lightens my day. It's a good way to start my Sundays out. Maybe we should just put it right at the beginning of the show. But it goes to show you that we have to de-elect Debbie Stabenow this time around. This woman wants to do nothing but spend money. Let's not forget, Debbie was critical in passing Obamacare, which experts predict will cause health care premiums to skyrocket. It's happening. It's not a prediction anymore. It will hurt Michigan families, and it will kill small business growth. That is happening now. 73% of Americans think that business will have to cut more jobs to pay for health insurance regulations. That, too, is happening right now. And let's not forget, she voted five times against opening up new oil exploration in this country. She voted against us being energy independent. What point of not electing Debbie Stabenow do I have to make? She's voted twice now against the Keystone XL pipeline, which brings, hello, union jobs as well as non-union jobs, mostly union, mind you. So if you're a union member and you're allowing your dues to be contributed to Debbie's campaign, you should be outraged. If you are a union member and want jobs and want things to happen well in this country, stop voting for Democrats. They don't care about you. They're using you. Knock it off and vote for a Republican this time around and see what difference it makes. 74% of Michiganders support new energy solutions like the Keystone XL pipeline. She also voted to raise the debt limit to an unheard of $14.7 trillion last year and voted against cutting federal spending by even the small amount of $40 billion. $40 billion is a drop in the bucket, folks, and yet she wouldn't even vote to cut that. Debbie, spend it now. You got it right. Stop voting for her. All right, let's move on to some other news that came out this week. Danger signs for the economy. The job growth is disappointing. Employers in the United States added only 69,000 jobs in May, the fewest in a year and not even close to what economists expect. Now, I think the figure is like $250,000 or jobs a month need to be created just to maintain a stable employment rate. 69,000 is all that came up last month in May, which caused the unemployment rate to rise from 8.2 to 8.1%. Now, we all know that figure is already slanted. Now, they're blaming this on people who have given up work coming back into the market. But it's really probably about 11 to 12 on a national level percent unemployment. Chief economist at High Frequency Economics said this is horrible. That's Ian Shepherdson. The job figures released Friday by the Labor Department dealt a strong blow to Barack Obama at the start of a general election campaign that will turn on the economy. Yes, the number one issue should be nothing but the economy. It's the economy, stupid. Listen to those words, the economy. Don't pay any attention to the smoke and mirrors that Obama campaign wants you to go into. His little minister of propaganda, David Axelrod, will be out there trying to shovel anything he can at you except the truth. So don't pay any attention to that. Stay focused on the economy. The Dow Jones down again this week and is now negative for the year. And it's because of the uncertainty. It's got nothing to do with whether the Federal Reserve should release money or make interest rates even lower. There's plenty of money out there. People just don't want to spend it. The people who have money are hiding it. They're sitting on it. They don't want to spend it because they're scared. They're uncertain. And they're going to be even more uncertain if we reelect Barack Obama, because who knows what he's going to do to us in the next 4 years when he has nothing to lose. And because of this, Barack Obama has nothing to run on. His record sucks, frankly. Obama is not backing off on his attacks on Romney's record at Bain Capital. I know we went over this last week. He's slamming Obama for being a private equity guy and making money, investing, and sometimes closing down businesses. And yet Barack Obama has friends in the same business, Blackstone. And the guy that now runs Bain Capital is a big supporter of Obama. And yet the big media doesn't want you to hear it. But you're going to hear it here, because this is where you get the truth. Wham Talk Radio. And by the way, if you're not listening to Wham Talk Radio on the computer, you should be. www.whamradio.com. Very clear. It's great. You can listen to it anywhere in the world live. So start listening to us on the internet. You'll find it very convenient. But there is no record for Romney or for Obama to be working on. And let's listen to something Obama says. Here's the blamer-in-chief going at it again. Let's go with track four, Derek.
Since then, Congress has only passed a few parts of that jobs bill, like a tax cut that's allowing working Americans to keep more of your paycheck every week. And that's important, but Congress hasn't acted on enough of the other ideas in that bill that would make a difference and help create jobs right now. There's no excuse for that. Not when so many people are still looking for work. Not when so many people are still struggling to pay the bills. So my message to Congress is, let's get to work. Right now, Congress should pass a bill to help states prevent more layoffs so we can put thousands of teachers and firefighters and police officers back on the job. Congress should have passed a bill a long time ago to put thousands of construction workers back on the job, rebuilding our roads and our bridges and our runways.
All right, let's listen to the hypocrite in chief as he speaks through that. Number one, he's telling Congress they need to get back to work. Well, how about you get back to work? You know, since you were elected, you've done nothing but vacation and campaign. How about you get to work, stay in Washington, work with the Republicans to get something done? How about a little compromise on your part? Secondly, the jobs he's talking about creating are not jobs that add to the economy. They're not jobs that create wealth. He's talking about teachers, police, and firemen. Those are great jobs. We need those jobs. But somebody has to pay for that. That means the private industry needs to grow strong enough that it can pay some more tax to pay for more teachers, firemen, and policemen. Who's going to pay for this, Mr. Obama? You can't keep doing this. Somebody has to pay for it. You got to get the economy strong before you spend any more money. You're bankrupting us. This man is a complete hypocrite. He said right at the beginning there, Congress hadn't done anything. They should have passed it years ago. You're right. They should have passed it. You had a Senate and a Congress that was both held by your party, the Democrats, for the first 2 years of your administration, and you did nothing. You should be ashamed of yourself as a president. You are, without a doubt, the worst president of the United States. You've surpassed Jimmy Carter, for crying out loud. Now, Jimmy Carter would like to still retain that title with some of the comments he made this week, but you can see those at the Daily Drift at currentonline.com. Now, the hypocrite-in-chief went on this week to do something else. This is your federal government at work. The state of Florida wants to purge the rolls for the election process. They want to get the dead people off the rolls so people can't vote for the dead. They want to get the illegal immigrants off the rolls so that illegals aren't voting in this upcoming election. Let's go with track six, Derek.
Bush. David, thank you very much for being here. So Florida decides it's going to clean up the voter rolls, try to get the dead people off, try to get the non-citizens off in advance of the big election. And Eric Holder's Justice Department writes Florida a letter saying, knock it off. You're in violation potentially of the Voting Rights Act, which says You can't do voter roll maintenance closer than 90 days before an election, and their primary is August 14th, so they say they're violating the federal law. Does he have a point?
He does not have much of a point, Megan, especially if you consider that Florida has been asking for close to 10 months. The Department of Homeland Security, if it maintains a database on individuals, not a complete database, but a fairly detailed database on individuals who are in this country illegally because they overstayed their status. What we have here is part and parcel of a broader effort by this administration that is desperate to win the re-election, in part because of bad economic news you were talking about earlier, that is trying to engage in very crass political games in a number of states, in Arizona, in Texas, in Florida, pushing across a range of issues.
Okay, so here a state merely wants to clean up the rolls and get the illegals off and make sure that the people who are voting in this election are legal citizens of the United States. And the federal government, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, instead of doing his job and going after people like Black Panthers who sit outside polling stations with nightsticks, lets those guys off the hook. He goes to the state of Florida and says, you can't be cleaning up the rolls to get these illegals and dead people off the electoral rolls. What? Instead of enforcing the law, the man is trying to break the law. This is part and parcel of the Obama administration. They want to buy the election. The more illegals they have on the electoral rolls, the more people will vote for them. It's incredible what this attorney general is doing. He's the most politicized attorney general since Nixon's attorney general. I'm flabbergasted. Every time I watch the news and hear something coming out of the attorney general's office, I'm just flabbergasted that this man has not been put in jail for treason. Failure to follow the law. The executive branch, that's Obama's administration, should be enforcing the law, and they are not. Don't vote for Obama. I'm begging you, please. If you want this country to succeed and come back from the brink, you need to vote for Romney. He's maybe not your favorite choice, and he may not be your first choice. But you have to have somebody with a lick of common sense, and Obama has none. The people he has hired and put into places like Eric Holder are not doing their job. It's incredible what he's doing to this country. Suing Arizona, suing Georgia, suing Florida. Instead of doing his job and going after the criminals, he's suing the states. Now, there's another bit of nonsense that came out this week. We all have heard over the last year or two about Iran trying to get nuclear weapons. And they've had, it's been in the news many times about some computer problems they've had. Well, all of a sudden, the Stuxnet cyber attack has been released as it was our fault. The U.S. intelligence agency working with the Israelis have come up with, they've released the fact that we were involved in that, that we attacked them with the cyber attack. And yet, the hypocrisy is this from Leon Panetta, our defense minister, our Secretary of Defense. Let's hear track 7 real quick, Derek.
You said that we face the possibility of a cyber attack. This is one of the things you talked about last time with me, about how this was a very big, serious issue of concern for you. And you said it could be the equivalent of Pearl Harbor. The Pentagon's acknowledged recently China is the biggest source of cyber attacks against this country, including stealing our military secrets. Newt Gingrich spoke about this threat on the campaign trail off, and he said cyber attacks, cyber spying are, quote, acts of war. Do you agree? Are they acts of war? And how would the United States respond?
Well, there's no question that if a cyber attack, crippled our power grid in this country, took down our financial systems, took down our government systems, that would constitute an act of war.
Okay, that's an act of war. So did we declare war on Iran? Good question. Till next week, do your homework. Stay up with the Daily Drift, currentonline.com. We'll see you next week.